was talking about the fact that prayer precedes revival. Did you hear me? Prayer precedes revival. Think about that. It's happening here every Wednesday night. We call that the boiler room. Okay? Also known, AKA the prayer room, but it's the boiler room. Okay? Prayer precedes revival. Both scripture and church history give testimony to this truth, that prayer precedes revival. When a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit is poured out, resulting in a great harvest of souls and refreshing for the church, prayers have gone ahead to break open the way. Time and time and time again. You're in for a history lesson today, folks. I hope you're ready. Boom. It's going to be awesome. Now, many prophets today for 2018 from the United States, from Great Britain, from Australia, from the four corners of the globe, are declaring that the coming season of harvest is upon us. And this activates the need for victorious prayer. Sometimes we pray when we're in the dumps, in the doldrums, and then our prayers kind of hang out down there for a little while. No, we're talking about prayers that are elevated, victorious prayers, believing prayers, prayers that are going to move mountains. Come on. Amen. All right. This means that our prayers are essential as we cry to the Lord of the harvest for his refreshing rain of revival to sweep our city. That's what we're praying for on Wednesday nights. Revival to sweep our city. So what is revival? Revival is defined as God pouring himself out on his people. It is characterized by a visitation of God. It is characterized as times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Who would like some of that? Amen. Would you like some of that? Amen. If you want some of that, put up your hand. Amen. I'm putting up two hands. I want it. I'm greedy for it. Okay. Oh, be still my heart. Okay. Revival is an outpouring of God in his people when we, Christians, followers of Jesus, do these things. Repent of sin. Ooh, that's a touchy one. Repent of sin. Now, you may want to disagree with me on this, but you can't. Because I'm here to tell you that there's not one of us in this room here that is above sin. Amen. Some of you have sinned this morning. Some of you are sinning right now because you're saying, what's that preacher talking about? Who does she think she is? Some of you will sin later on in the day, tomorrow, this week. You know what? You can't let it go. You need to repent. Repent, repent, repent. Okay, I really got hit by this one. I don't know when meet and mingle is going to happen. You're going to have to hold on to your bellies, especially me, because I'm grumbling already, so I'm in big trouble. Okay, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 1, wow, I'm starting Isaiah. I'm going to be in this book for a long time. Verse 22 says, your silver has become dross. And then in verse 25, I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. Okay, folks? You're filled with dross. You got impurities in you. You know, I actually went on YouTube because I was so intrigued by this. I've read that verse so often, but I thought, does it look like when silver is smelted and the dross rise to the surface? So I Googled it and I watched a really amazing Okay, I might be a little bit crazy because I like stuff like that. But I watched a really neat video of this huge pot filled with silver, melted. And it was sitting in another big vat thing that must have been like a gazillion degrees because the silver was pure liquid. And all across the top were like, it looked like burning embers, just like in a fire, was settled on the top. And this guy had this big, long, scoopy thing with a big baskety thingamajiggy on the end. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Okay. I know that's above your understanding, but anyways. So he took the doohickey, and he dipped it, just he skimmed across the silver with this thingamajig. I'm sorry. I think I'm in trouble. I might have the giggles right now. He took the scoopy, and he went like this, and this big mound of burning dross, impurities, was skimmed off the top. And he kept going back ever so gently, just skimming it. And I was fascinated by it, because the silver that was all melted, it was like a mirror. And you see, that's what we're to be like when we repent of our sin. When we repent of our sin, the dross, our impurities, come to the surface. Holy Spirit gets them up, rised up inside us, and we repent, so God skims it off, right? And when they're doing that in the smelting, the silver is so cleansed of impurities that you can actually look in the silver and see your reflection. So when our impurities are removed from us because we've repented of our sin, we become a reflection of Jesus. Isn't that good? Okay, I'm like, wait, I gotta really go. So, revival, we need to repent of our sin. Okay? So close your eyes, repent. Thank you, Lord. The next thing his people do is renew their love to God. Repent of sin, renew their love to God, recommit themselves to God's purposes, invest extended time in prayer, communion with God, meditation. I'm talking about the meditation where you're filling your mind with the things of God, not emptying it. And experience blessings in Christian service. So there's a scriptural pattern to prayer preceding revival. And there are so many, I could have stood up here for an hour and read all of those scriptures, but I selected a few. You ready? I'm going to go through them quick. If you've got a pen and a paper, jot these down. I'll give you the references. God definitely answers our prayers. Has anybody had an answer to prayer in their lives? Mm-hmm. He hears us when we call out to him, and the scripture is full of examples of God responding to the cries of his people. He has sent deliverance. He has sent salvation, boldness, refreshing, his glory. Exodus 2, 24 to 25. God, hearing their groaning, he remembered them. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. He heard their groaning. The very next chapter, Exodus 3, what happens? Moses encounters the burning bush. Awesome. 1 Samuel 7:9. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. 2 Chronicles 7, 1-2. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. Wow. You want to experience that?
Yep.
Me too. Okay, here's a good call to repentance in Joel chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Okay, this is your call to repentance, okay? Joel 1, 13 to 14. Put on sackcloth, O priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Wow. Acts 1:14 and 2:1-4. They all joined together constantly in prayer, Wednesday nights, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole sanctuary where Gateway Church was sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow. Acts 3:19, repent then, see, again, repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Amen. Yeah, she's liking that. So that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Ah, refreshing. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Whoa. Our house was shaken this morning when the train, we live on Prince Edward, then there's Superior Crescent, then there's Tweedmere, and then there's the railroad tracks. And I could feel the ground shaking. I want to feel the Holy Spirit shaking this ground. Okay. So, prayer precedes revival. You getting my point?
Yes.
Many prayer warriors from church history knew this truth all too well. And it's time for us to join their voices and cry out to the Lord of the harvest. Now, I'm going to read a couple of quotes from church history guys who were heavily involved in revival in their time. Charles Finney said this, "Revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. Revival comes from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, and if need be, to win and die." Matthew Henry, "When God intends to do great mercy for his people, the first thing he does is sets them a praying." Leonard Ravenhill, "At God's counter," this is a good one. You should write this one down. Get your pen. "At God's counter, there are no sale days. For the price for revival is ever the same. Travail. The price for revival is always the same. Travail. Travailing prayer." So, prayer precedes revival. I really felt that I needed to share with you some of the revivals that have taken place after the Book of Acts revival. In 1904, there was a huge revival. That went, oh, actually, I have a couple of notes here. That was the Welsh Revival, the Azusa Street Revival, the Korean Pentecost Revival, the Manchurian, which was China Revival, and the Mizo Outpouring, which took place in the northeast corner of India. One thing I noticed when I was doing my historical research was that when revivals took place over time, it wasn't something that just happened in one area. Revival fire came in many places across the globe at the same time. That is pretty amazing. So 1904, the Great Awakening took place in 1727 to 1750. That was with George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards, the Moravian Revival in Germany, and the revival that took place in New England, in the States and England. The Second Great Awakening happened in 1780 to 1810. That was with Peter Cartwright and the Yale Revival. Yale University Revival. Uh-huh. The General Awakening took place in 1830 to 1840. The Layman's Prayer Revival took place in 1857 to 1861. The World War II Revival took place in 1935 to 1950. The Baby Boomer Revival took place in 1965 to 1975. Now we're getting in, that's kind of in, like, that's way before I knew Jesus. So in my lifetime, that was the Jesus People Movement. Took place in, there was a Saskatoon revival and Asbury College, again, a place of education. You know, it could happen here, Nipissing. There was the Protestant Reformation in 1517 and the Pentecost revival that took place in AD 30, setting the foundation for all other Holy Spirit outpouring breakouts to come after. The New Testament began with a new phenomenon of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the upper room, and has become the model and basis of all future revivals. And while this is the greatest outpouring of God and his people, everything else rests on Pentecost. It is the foundation upon which all succeeding revivals rest. Then there was the Pensacola Revival. There was the Toronto Airport Revival. There was the Brownsville Revival. There was the Lakeland Revival that I actually went to. What year was that?
I don't know, but you were healed.
I got healed there. I didn't go down looking for a healing, but I got healed of a serious, serious ailment. That was a healing revival. I wanted to experience that. We took a whole bunch of people down with us. Berks Falls Church, Gateway Church, a whole bunch of us went down together. Other people in our group got healed. It was amazing to be in that atmosphere. Okay, here's a bunny trail. I remember going to, we'd get to the auditorium early because the worship team were practicing. And you could just, there was me and a couple of other women, we'd go right to the altar, and the team was there, and we'd just stand, and I am not kidding, I have never experienced anything prior to that or after it, but the worship team is there, and you could feel the presence of God, and we're standing there worshiping, and you could literally feel the waves. I don't even know what it was, but there was like, the presence of God was just like, you could feel it like rolling up you. It was just phenomenal. I want that here. I want that here. Anybody else want that here? Yes. So, I have a neat quote. Okay, I'm skipping down here. There have been instances in the history of the church when the telling and retelling of the wonderful works of God have been used to rekindle the expectations of the faithful intercessors and prepare the way for another awakening. So that's what I'm doing today, people. I'm telling and retelling, hoping to rekindle something in you, to ignite something in you that will come to desire and yearn for and crave and not be satisfied with until you actually see an outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place. Okay, it's going to start here, but I want it for every church in North Bay. Okay. I'm going to tell you this story, and I'll close with this. God is so good.
Amen.
The Outer Hebrides revival took place in 1949. That's not that long ago. It's before my time. Not Randy's, but it's before my time. I do.
Okay.
I repent. Forgive me, Lord, for teasing Randy yet one more time. So this took place in the village of Barvis on the largest island of the Outer Hebrides off the northwest coast of Scotland. Now, a couple of sermons ago, I mentioned a man by the name of Duncan Campbell. I don't know if you remember the illustration I used that day, but he was the evangelist preacher who happened to be the one that God used through that revival. Now, while many people are aware of the impact of David, or rather Duncan Campbell, during this outpouring, this revival that took place was precipitated by the faithful prayer warriors who paved the way before and during that mighty move of God's presence. Okay? So this is a retelling, okay? It's meant to kindle something in you here. Behind the scenes labored two elderly sisters, Peggy Smith, who was 84 years old and blind, and her sister, Christine Smith, was 82 years old and almost doubled over with arthritis. They were unable to attend regular church services, but for months they prayed in their home for God to send revival to Barvis. These two relentless intercessors prayed by name for the people in each cottage along their village streets. They reminded God of his word in Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon those who are thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. They cried this prophetic promise to the Lord day and night. Across the village, independent of the Smith sisters, there were seven young men, young adults. Are you paying attention, young adults? There were seven young men that met three nights a week in a barn to pray for revival. So here's the two sisters praying for revival, and here's the seven young fellows praying for revival. They made a covenant with God and one another, according to Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7, that they would give him no rest until he sent revival their way. That's kind of bold, eh? God, you shall not rest until you bring revival to Gateway Church. Amen. Month after month after month, they prevailed in prayer. One night in particular, they prayed with fervency, Psalm 24, 3 to 5. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. They prayed that over and over and over again. Instantly, it seemed as though the barn was filled with the glory of God, and the young men praying from the Psalms, they fell prostrate on the floor. An awesome awareness of God overcame them, and they were drenched with supernatural power that they had never known before. Wow. Are you getting this? Are you sitting there just like in awe of what God has done and can do and will do again?
Yes.
At that very time, the Lord gave one of the Smith sisters a vision. Peggy Smith saw the churches crowded with people and hundreds of people being swept into the kingdom of God. They sent word to their pastor that they had broken through and that heaven was about to descend on earth. And so it did. The whole region seemed saturated with God. Wherever people were, whether it was in their workplaces, in their homes, or on the roads, they were overwhelmed by the presence of Almighty God, and a stream of blessing flowed that brought hundreds to salvation during the days of that historic visitation. Wow. Hundreds. Hundreds. Ah. The Lord has highlighted the importance of prayer and fasting in this season to leaders and prophets and intercessors across the globe. There is a heightened awareness that God is about to do something. And now it's our turn to take up the cry before the Lord, calling on him in repentance and asking for his revival to reign upon the dry ground of our hearts and our city and our land. A groundswell of the Holy Spirit is igniting prayer across the globe to open up the way for a heavy rain. And our prayers, okay, our prayers for this revival will help open up the way. You begin to pray with us. You begin to agree in prayer with us. I have no idea what it's going to look like. They say revival can be messy. Hundreds of people coming into the kingdom. That is what it's all about. So, repent of sin. Renew your love to God. Recommit yourself to God's purposes. And invest your time. Okay? I'm giving you a directive. Invest your time in prayer, in the study of the Word, in communion with God, and experience His blessings in service to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Would you close your eyes? I know it's meet and mingle. We will get out there. However, I feel we just need to pray into this. Is revival on your heart? Okay, come to the altar. Come to the altar. Please. I'll say that more politely. Is revival on your heart? Do you want God to use you in bringing people into the kingdom? Do you want to experience healing in your life, whether it's emotional, physical, whatever? If you're in agreement for revival, come to the altar. Okay. Now you guys start to pray out. You guys, you just lift up your voices to the Lord. If you didn't come to the altar, you can pray in your pew. Begin to ask the Lord. Begin to ask the Lord. Revival, Lord. We're not going to let you rest. We're not going to let you rest until revival comes to Gateway. Until revival comes to North Bay. God, we know there's nothing impossible with you. Holy Spirit, break out. Holy Spirit, break out. Revive us, Lord. Revive us, Lord. Give us a hunger and a passion for you. A hunger and a passion for your word. Holy Spirit, work on our lives so that we never neglect the main ingredient of maintaining connectedness to you is repenting of our sins. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think, the things that we put our hands to, the things that we allow our minds to be involved in that are in opposition to your word, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. We repent. Bring cleansing. We repent, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's nothing impossible with you. You can do it here. Father, why not? Why not? Hallelujah. We glory in your name, Lord. We glory in your name. This is not, we're not asking this for ourselves, Lord. Though some of us might need a touch from you, God, we're asking for this for our city. We want to see people coming into your kingdom by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands. Father, bless every church in this city that calls upon Jesus as Lord. Father, we ask for the same for them, Lord, that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit. Even those that might be afraid of an outpouring of your Spirit, we want you to double outpour on them, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we're not going to be greedy for this, Lord. We're asking for the full body in this city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, those places that are called churches that are so far away from you in mind, in spirit, that worship things that, yeah. Father, we ask for a renewal and revival to come to them. That one Sunday morning, Lord, when they step into that pulpit, that those ministers would have a revelation of who you are, would have a revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. We ask for revival there as well, Father, because you love them with an everlasting love. We thank you, Father. Clean us all up, Lord. Clean us all up, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody here want to pray? Go ahead. Just pray out. Pray out. That's right. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Father, may it begin in each one of us individually that you would create in us, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit.
Yes.
Father, bring the spirit of repentance to your people.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Father, we don't know what that looks like. It could get messy. Father, may we not be afraid of that messiness.
Yes.
May we not be afraid of that which is in all the dross coming to the surface that needs to be taken away. So the purity and the value of the rest can be seen and be operated with.
Amen.
So Father, bring a spirit of repentance in this place.
Yes. Father, we declare that heaven is here on earth.
Yes.
Father, we declare the Spirit lives within us.
Yes.
Father, awaken them, Father, so they know who you are in their lives.
Yes.
Father, bring everything to the surface, Lord. And Father, you still love them. Father, you love them. No matter what they've done, Father, you ask nothing of them. All you ask is for them to come to you, to bring their sin to you at the foot of the cross, because you shed that blood for each one of us.
That's okay.
You love each one of us, no matter what we've done. All sin is forgiven.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come before you and cry out to you. Father, our prayers are like incense to your ears, to your nose. Father, you smell it, you see it. Father, now we want to see you. We want to sense you. We want to smell you. We want to be able to feel the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
And we thank you for that.
Amen.
We thank you for that desire.
Thank you, Lord.
Increase that desire in each one of us, Father. Father, let not man's word draw people to you. Let the Holy Spirit draw people to you.
That's right.
Father, that's when revival will come. When we start praying. When we start to repent of what our sins are.
Amen. So, Father, we're going to pray this over ourselves. Randy alluded to it. King David, this was his prayer. I'm going to pray it over us. Okay? Have mercy on us, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions. Wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. For we know our transgressions and our sin is always before us. Against you, you only have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge us. Surely we were sinful at birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach us wisdom in the inmost place. Yes. Cleanse us with hyssop, and we will be clean. Wash us, and we will be whiter than snow. Let us hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from our sins and blot out all our iniquity.
Yes.
Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Then we will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. Amen.
Stay here, Lynn. Let's extend a hand out to Linda. She, the Lord used her this morning in incredible ways. So we'll pray a blessing over her. Thank the Lord for her. So, Father, we thank you for Linda's obedience, Lord, to bring something so deep, so rich, so awesome to our very hearts today. Lord, you have used Linda to as a vessel to speak right deep within our spirits, to stir us, Lord, to have a desire, to have an expectation, Lord, to believe that this is a day of acceleration.
Yes.
And that, Father, so I thank you and I ask, Lord, that you would protect her heart, her mind. Lord, you would give her rest. Father, you would bless her.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And honey,
amen.
I'm really proud of you. And happy anniversary.
Bless you guys. I'm sorry that we went over, really over. I apologize, but you know what? God bless the food.
Yeah.